Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside Secrets of the Caribbean. My name is Ria. I am your host, and today I am really pleased to welcome back Virna Barath. She is from Trinidad and Tobago, and she is also a well-known broadcaster out of the area. How are you, Virna?
Hi, Ria. I'm well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here again with you.
Yeah, well, welcome back, although unfortunately the topic that we have to speak about today isn't as lovely as the topic that we spoke about the last time. You are currently in Trinidad, and Trinidad and Tobago has just recently reintroduced lockdown measures, and we are seeing another reoccurrence and another uprising of the virus. What's going on?
Yes. So, Ria, it's unfortunate to note that the last we spoke, I remember telling you that our Prime Minister was coming in high praises from the WHO Secretary General, saying that great job with the your leadership and management of COVID-19, because our figures were really low. Everything was going pretty well. However, unfortunately, we began to notice a gradual increase in the number of cases from just around the end of March. Now, from January to March, there would usually be one death reported roughly every week or every other week. The numbers of new infections, they were in the single digits or even lower double digit figures for most of January through March. However, Ria, on April 1st, we got a rude awakening when we saw three deaths reported in a 24-hour period. Then we started to see a gradual increase in the number of cases, rising to well over 100 by the 18th of April. And then just 10 days later, those numbers started to increase to the 200s. And by the end of April, we were well over 300 new cases of COVID-19 in our country. And unfortunately, the death rate has been seeing a similar trend, increasing rapidly from April 29th to May 9th. That 10-day window alone, Ria, we have seen roughly over 40 deaths. May 8th in Trinidad and Tobago was perhaps the deadliest COVID-19 death. We reported 7 deaths, well over 400 new cases of infections. And then the day after, which was just yesterday here for us, it was 8 deaths, which is record-breaking. So unfortunately, we are at well over 3,800 active positive cases, over 200 deaths, and currently we have just over 300 patients in hospital.
Now, let me ask you, how did this happen? Because you guys were closed down, your borders were closed down, there was protocol, there was quarantine. Where did this come from?
Ria, well, everyone has been having their say on what could have led to such an increase in the figures. There are those who believe that members of the public have let their guards down. They were no longer adhering to the precautionary measures of social distancing, hand washing, proper wearing of masks, particularly for the Easter season in early April. And statistics will support that, Ria, because the number of new infections rose to the hundreds by April 18th. And this is just 2 weeks after that Easter weekend, because Easter, I know Good Friday was on the 2nd of April. So, I mean, if you do the math, you will see it's roughly 2 weeks after we started to see this spike in cases. Now, unfortunately, Ria, we do have that Brazilian P1 variant and the UK variant in Trinidad and Tobago. They've both been detected. And it is interesting to note that the very first case of the Brazilian variant, it had been from that of a non-national, a Venezuelan immigrant, according to our head epidemiologist and our Minister of Health here. Yes, our borders have been closed for just over 1 year, and our government has a repatriation system in place for nationals who are trying to return home. But there are many among our population who are also attributing blame to the government for what they say has been its failure to adequately prevent the illegal entry of non-nationals, namely Venezuelans. Now, in early May, our Minister of National Security announced that security along the southwestern peninsula will be heightened as reinforcements will be made to the coast and even the air guards to assist with border security. However, you know, we've heard those among the population making comments on social media. I saw one comment where someone said, okay, so we're now closing the stable after the horse has bolted. Some are saying better late than never. So you're seeing a mixed reaction by members of the public. Yes.
What is this doing to the healthcare system?
Well, unfortunately, we would have seen that our principal medical officer saying that our parallel healthcare system is on the verge of being overwhelmed, that they are therefore urging persons to exercise extreme caution and adhere to all protocols. Our government has introduced stricter measures to prohibit gatherings to attempt to control the spread of the virus. And we are currently being asked by government to stay at home, work from home where possible. Essential services such as pharmacies and food stores are being operated at specific hours, operating at 50% capacity. Our public transportation system also reduced to 50% capacity. All restaurants closed, construction ceased. So these measures are in place until April 23rd, when our government will determine the way forward from there.
And what about vaccines? I mean, you know, we've been hearing for a while, of course, we're watching, you know, vaccines roll out around the world. What is the vaccine situation like there?
So currently we have begun our vaccination drive with the first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccines, just under 60,000 persons vaccinated here. And we are currently giving the second doses to those persons while we await the arrival of 33,000 vaccines, or just over 33,000 vaccines in the coming days, to allow for the continuation of that vaccination drive. We are also awaiting shipments of the recently WHO-approved Sinopharm Beijing vaccines in the coming weeks as well, and efforts are being made to ensure that that vaccination drive is seamless and efficient.
And what about the other countries within the Caribbean, Jamaica, Barbados? How are things going there?
Okay, so for Trinidad and Tobago, we have a population of just roughly 1.4 million. The average daily number of new infections here is 282. Now compare that to Jamaica with a population of just under 3 million. Their average daily number of new infections is 115. Now the number of deaths, from April 29th to May 8th, that 10-day window for Jamaica is 36 compared to just over 40 for Trinidad and Tobago for that said period. All right, now Jamaica is in fact now coming out of that back end of its second surge, which brought more consequences and challenges than the first surge. Their death toll due to COVID has been just over 800, and they have seen an increase in the positive cases among the 20 to 39 age groups. And a curfew has been enforced there to prevent gatherings, and those who are getting severely ill remain those above the 50 years range. And they also comprise the majority of the fatalities who also have comorbidities. Now, in Barbados, with a population of roughly just about 290,000, you have the average daily number of new infections being around 9, and there has been a total of 45 COVID-19 related deaths reported since the start of the pandemic. Now, it is important to also note, Ria, that unlike Jamaica, we are noticing a difference in the trend. The fatalities, among our fatality figures, we are seeing a lot of persons who are around 30 and 40 years old. So we are noticing a difference in the behavior of the virus. Persons who didn't even get a chance to get the results of their COVID tests, they are dying. So it is concerning.
So it's getting to be a younger generation, a healthier generation, and the virus is acting a lot faster.
That is true, and that is unfortunate. And as I mentioned before, it is definitely a cause for concern, because currently our health care system is on the verge of collapse.
So what can people do to make sure that this trend stops? Those that are in the Caribbean or those that are outside of the Caribbean, what can we do?
As our principal medical officer said just a couple of days ago, one of the worst words in the healthcare system is commingling. We have seen scores of persons gathering at fast food outlets to secure their last bites before the restrictions for restaurant closures took effect. It is unfortunate that the very thing that the government was trying to prevent by introducing these measures is the very thing that happened, those mass gatherings. There are also those who continue to entertain what they call close friends and family members. But Ria, that practice is widely being condemned and discouraged by our healthcare professionals, who say that that concept of a bubble, it does not work. Since people from different households, they carry different exposure risks. And then there are those who can be carriers of the virus and not even know it. So there are those who are still flocking to the supermarkets, while thankfully there are some who are making do without certain things just to avoid venturing out at all during this critical time.
You know, it's one thing, I think as human nature, we tend to think that we're infallible, and especially when you're younger, you don't think that something like this is going to catch you. I'm healthy, I eat well, et cetera, et cetera. But as you said, this virus is mutating and it's changing. And it's crazy to think that you actually have a different virus. Excuse me, you have a different virus in Trinidad and Tobago than you're seeing in other islands in the Caribbean. And
Yes.
that virus is attacking a younger generation. And we just really need to be careful because, when we talk about isolation and quarantine, we're talking about taking care of the health system. We're talking about making sure that it's not overwhelmed, so that if you do contract the virus, that there is a place you can go and you can possibly get help. Because if there's no health system, no one's going to be able to overcome this.
That is unfortunately true. And it's also interesting to note that right here in the Caribbean, Jamaica has imposed new travel bans on India and Trinidad and Tobago, effective May 6th to June 2nd, due to the increase in cases here. So it's sad.
Well, you know what, Verna, I wish you the best of luck, and stay safe and be careful, because I want to call on you in 6 months.
Yes, I really hope that I would have much better news for you then. Leah, great
Well, let's
chatting with
hope
you.
so. I would like to come and visit you one of these days.
Yes,
So,
most definitely.
the only way that I'm going to be able to get on the islands is if things have cleared up. And let's hope that the vaccinations do roll out, and that more and more people get vaccinated, and that we can, change the trajectory of this pandemic, and hopefully get back to life as normal.
Agreed, totally. Thank you, Ria.
Once again, you have been watching Inside the Secrets of the Caribbean. I have been speaking with Virna Bharath. She is live from Trinidad and Tobago. We have been talking about the situation with the pandemic in the Caribbean. My name is Ria. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.